Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
A grain of rice. It's going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Hello, people from the Irish Examiner. Great to be back with the podcast again, second episode, sponsored by Allianz, and delighted to have Michael and Mark again here this week, and Larry is here with us as well. We'll touch on the Tipperary fade-out with Larry later on. Too much wine in, where was the holiday, Larry? Thailand, was it? Cancun or somewhere. But no, look, a lot of new beginnings the weekend, lads, and you know what? There was a lot of fresh stuff and new starts, Mark.
I suppose, it's the three managers, I suppose, in the main. I suppose, even though it was four, I suppose you had Shane O'Neill in charge of Galway for the first time, playing at home as well against Westmead. Pretty comprehensive victory in the end. Probably Westmead's case wasn't helped by the sending off of Angus Clark in the first half, particularly in the first.
Do you think that was a bit harsh? And we'll talk about sending off later.
I suppose, to be fair to the referee, he had no other choice but to send him off because he stroked him on the helmet and stuff like that, you know. I must admire Joe Kenning for his... He got up straight away, said, listen, there's nothing in it. I suppose what I would have taken from the incident is maybe the game is travelling a little bit faster now than what's maybe normal, and lads are mistiming their tackles and stuff like that. I think if the yellow cards were reversed, Anthony, he wouldn't have got a card for the first yellow card that he got. I thought that was a pretty tame one. If he was on a yellow for the strike in the helmet, which really wasn't the I was trying to give the fella the benefit of the doubt. I think if the yellows were reversed, he wouldn't have got a second yellow, you know?
Even the one on the helmet, I know you can't hit the helmet, but it was even with one hand coming down.
That's right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, they didn't
that's
see
by Joe, I think.
No, and there didn't seem to be very little
minimal
intent in it, like, you know, but I suppose it just from Angus's point of view, he probably should have been up further and on the ball and stuff like that. And I suppose if he connected with the slitter and stuff like that and followed through, it would have been okay, but everything was missed. But I suppose in terms of the new beginnings and stuff like that, Brian Lohan and Down in Clare, you know, 127-14 points against Carlo. You know, I suppose Colin Bonner's already said today, like, you know, that it was a learning curve for them. And, you know, from their point of view this year, it'll be trying to stay in the division if they can and to learn from being in a higher division. And then I suppose the big game of the weekend, really, you know, certainly in the new beginning context, is Liam Cahill's first game down in Welsh Park.
Yeah, and Michael, are they, like, in my opinion, Watford are after hitting on a bit of a beano here?
Oh yeah, absolutely. When you look at what there was a great picture tweeted, I think, from the Moorings in Dungarvan, great spot for your lunch if there's a match there, but a picture of someone's kid with Tadhg de Bourcq, Austin Gleeson, Jamie Barron and Kevin Moran, which gives you an idea what they were missing.
And Shane Bennett.
He wasn't in the picture, I know where he was. But it was just a snapshot of this is what they have to come back.
Yeah.
So in fairness, what Cahill spun out of what he had available. Like, as someone said to me, the Umphla Daly, who was playing the half-back line.
Earl Daly, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talk about, like, when fellas are too young to come in, etc. Like, he was very impressive yesterday for a player playing Harty very recently.
Harty final last year against Midland CBS, and his brother, Derek, played centre-back for CBC against Middleton on Saturday. We covered it in the Irish Examiner up there on live, and it was a massive game. And he is a flaking centre-back, and we actually got to see the lad afterwards. He's a big, broad, 6'1", 6'2", young fella. But his brother yesterday was outstanding in the halfback.
They have no chance in that Harty final. No.
Well, Dalo, in fairness, you know.
The aristocrats are back.
Flannans are back. Boy. You're going to bring him out of the cobwebs for this one, Dalo. This is the big one.
No, we're a rugby school beating us.
school.
I was talking about the clubs and the programme, you know, and you say, oh, I didn't realise that was a Clare club. And is that a Clare club?
That's right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Great. You'd know him well, Michael, Aidan Callaghan. Past pupil of that esteemed...
Another famous nursery, not too far from us here.
Great scrum half, CBC. Cal, and
you're probably we've had
great
tables.
Slagging since they came in.
Yeah,
to
right.
The Harty Cup, you know. What are you doing, the Harty Cup? Yeah. Like, this is sacrilege, let me say. But obviously, you look at the list of clubs now.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a different ball game.
That's massive. And I must say, like, beating Midland CBS after, I suppose, Midland CBS had beat them in the Harty final last year in a tight game. It was a very, very entertaining game on Saturday. The quality of the hurling was excellent. But I thought that CBC have a spine to their team. The Ballinora Shane Kingston, as we'll call him, not the Douglas Shane Kingston, was fullback left-handed as well, like Shane from Douglas, and Daly centre-back. And then they've Hacknett, Jack Callahan, Niall's son, full forward, was probably the outstanding player on the day. He got about 1-8, 1-4 from playing. He got the goal late in the game that actually swung it in CBC's favour. So
yeah, we haven't much now.
I know, Dale. You have the line up there now for Dale. You can, you're sorted.
You're all listening, Darren Flannan's Brendan Bugler. You're tuned in there. It was a good Saturday for Brendan Bugler with the Harty Cup and Wexford beating the East.
Absolutely. Very good.
But back to Waterford, Jack. Seriously impressed with Eoghan Daly, I have to say. And the crowd around me were, you know, singing his praises. Callum Lyons, I thought, you know, made the goal, drove forward at every opportunity. Yeah. And you have to say Kieran Bennett and the forwards, like,
It's a kind of a transition, isn't it? Because I know there was a lot of controversy about Liam Cal letting fellas go, etc. But like the old phrase, like, stick with what you have until you have better. You know, maybe he does have better. Because like the performance he got out of those fellas, who obviously are coming in fresh and they want to impress the man who's there, not anybody else.
Well, I suppose you quite rightly mentioned Kieran Bennett. And when Cork got off to a very, very impressive start, two goals early on against a slight breeze. I didn't think the breeze was that massive.
Not massive.
It was slight. But there were mistakes. But the Cork forwards, like the Kingston and Lehan, pounce on any half a sniff. They'll get it. But I thought the one person that carried the fight to Cork immediately was Kieran Bennett. I think he got 3 points in play in the first half and a sideline. And particularly he got one in the first half out in the sideline, 30 yards, and he sprinted 70 yards back to make sure that he was back in front of the puck out. I was very impressed with Kieran Bennett just and the two legs you've already mentioned there.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, like you said, he sprinted back out, and we don't know what levels of training are going on at the moment. We were talking about that, having a cup of tea, but funny enough, about 3 weeks ago, John Mullane just chatting the two of us, and he said, I went over to the IT, as Mullet said, and he says, watched them training. Seriously impressed with Beavan's training, Dale, or his coaching, you know.
Right, Mullet said,
And he says, Jim, we might be onto a good thing, like, because I suppose they were nearly a shoe-in to be the tip managers, the tip management, until Liam expressed, and it, like, they've won everything at underage, like. And,
they have 221 All-Irelands won, and a minor All-Ireland won as well. And I suppose he has made a couple of hard decisions in a number of players that he's left off. But the fact, when you went down to Waterford just and you saw the two lineups, you saw 4 debutants in the Waterford team, and then without the players, the Austin Gleeson's, Tadhg Na Boca, Padraig Manny, Jamie Byrne, Kevin Moore, and then throw on top of that Noel Connors, Mara Shanahan, and the other Manny. Like, there's 8 fellas that would have been regulars on their team. They're throwing in 4 debutants, and then you look at look at the Cork lineup, and you said to yourself, God, Cork have certainly, looking at their 2 midfielders and Bill Cooper and Mark Coleman, and then their 6 forwards, you said, okay, from 8 upwards, that is probably very close to Cork starting front 8. Like, and I just couldn't believe, even after the start that Cork got, that all of a sudden then the old failings started to come back. The lack of fight, the lack of hunger, the desire to win the ball, do you know?
And well, I touched on the column, and I'm not making excuses now, because I've been critical enough of Cork in the last couple of years, especially that maybe lack of fight, or, you know, raw fight, I don't know. But I sometimes think, no, you'd always take a goal in any match, no matter what stage it comes, because everything counts. But sometimes that early goal, and never mind an early goal, but 2 goals can feel as can automatically lull a little bit. That kind of, they're a new look team. They haven't, Ozzie Gleeson had cried off, and, you know, we've looked at the team we have out. And
I was looking at the other side. You know, fellas can't see even if they're inexperienced. Look, there's probably 65, 70 minutes to go. We've time to pull that back. It doesn't all have to fall down on us. But like Marcus said it, I mean, it's an old tune that, like, you know, whatever, Corksworth is a bit kind of Newcastle, Liverpool in the old days. Whatever you score, we'll outscore you. That doesn't wash anymore. And Cork have very good forwards, but have they working forwards? Have they fellas, like what you said, no, with Kieran Bennett, sprinting 60, having a great point, and a young and experienced fellow, you say he'd be maybe basking in the glow a small bit, and, like, you know, are they my relations up in the crowd? No, business, back down the field, back down to try and do his job. And sometimes you look at the Cork forwards and and you'd say, are fellas working as hard when they don't have the ball?
Well, I suppose, there's a word called consistency, and that's the biggest problem I see in Cork at the moment, is that they could go down to Limerick last year and get a victory in the Championship after being turned over by Tip. They were horrible on one weekend. Mark Ellis was above in the stand, and next to that, he sent her back a week later, and they produced a performance like that against Limerick, and they blew him away. And that's the biggest issue, that there's a lack of consistency, and that's running through out the team. And yeah, we can look at the forwards and stuff like that, and then you had the likes of Hanlon in there, who you'd say, he's a tough, consistent forward. But, I think the overriding thing is that just... they lack that little bit of composure and desire. And I suppose the one thing that struck me yesterday, now, and I haven't seen it in a while, is that when a defender got the ball in Cork yesterday, he was looking lateral with a pass instead of looking forward. Now, to me, the best asset we have is our forwards. And if we are to win anything, we're going to have to outscore the opposition. But looking lateral, to give passes lateral and invite the other team to intercept the ball. And we got turned over a number of times yesterday. And I suppose the point we mentioned daily earlier on, a loose clearance from Anthony Nash at a vital time in the game, I think to his level. There was nobody within 50 yards of where he hit the ball. Daly plucked it out of the sky, carried it 20 yards. Thanks very much. Over. It was a huge, torn in Cork side yesterday. But it was the lateral hurling for me was disappointing. And yes, I agree with you, Michael, that on occasions that fellas are not fighting enough for the ball, and we have a number of forwards that are not fighting for the ball, which I know I mentioned this the last week. I think the league is vital for teams to actually progress. There's only two national medals you can win, an All-Ireland and a Senior League, and if we're going to disrespect the league medal, it's a bad start for Cork.
I just add one there to that too, Mark. Cork have good forwards, but they need good early ball. And when you saw in the first few minutes, they got good early ball and they caused havoc. But as you say then, you're looking up a slow, patient play across the field. And, every defence loves that. Everyone can come back, stand in front of the likes of Shane Kingston, Alan Cadigan, whoever you're having yourself, Patrick Horgan. But when Cork will get the ball in early and quick to those forwards, it caused havoc.
And problem being, though, what I saw yesterday now, and I watched behind the goal, I just see when he went short, you're right, Mark, they were lateral and there was an extra pass and, that second ball wasn't counting. But when he went long, there was no return either, though. Yep. And that is okay. A bit of an issue.
And then, Anthony, we played Aidan Walsh in the half hour, and I'd have to say I thought Aidan Walsh had a magnificent opening 20 minutes, and I said to myself, jeez, we've found a new flow. He has a new lease of life. He's back hurling with a couple of years.
I still thought he was taking off a bit harshly.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Yeah. He missed one ball over on the far side of the field. He missed the pick, and he was the first fella to get to come over here. And I thought that was very hard on him because I thought his overall play was pretty good. But I felt that Hannity is a target. Darragh Fitzgibbon is a target. Aidan Walsh is a target. No, lads, you couldn't have three better fellas, in my opinion, under the high ball looking for it. So I don't know whether they're trying to mix it up, but I must say this slow build-up play coming from the backs and lateral passes and an extra pass, it doesn't help Alan Cadigan, Patrick Horgan, Conor Lehane, and I will have to say give honourable mention to Shane Kingston.
Oh, excellent.
Delighted to see him back playing really, really well yesterday. I thought he really did take the fight. Not only the scores, but there was a physical element to his game yesterday, which is fantastic. But we just missed out on one thing earlier on there, is that I thought Liam Cahill and his management team moved very fast yesterday to take off Conor Gleeson. I thought, Niall O'Leary, not to isolate him now, didn't have a great game, but he lasted nearly 60 minutes of the game. When we had Sean O'Leary Hayes and Colm Spillane in the fullback line as subs to come on yesterday, I didn't think Waterford waited around to make decisions. They made it happen yesterday, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, and although he was probably caught for the Kingston second goal, Shane Fives made a great job when he came in.
Absolutely.
Of shoring it up. It was great to be able to look at him, Shane Fives there.
Yeah.
Conor Gleeson's obviously a great reputation as a man marker, but then he wasn't really. He has missed a good bit of last year and all that, and he didn't look sharp and didn't have Shane Fives waiting.
And it speaks to what Mark is saying, that Liam Cahill wasn't saying, Ash, we'll give another few minutes here, Conor Gleeson, he'll come right. No, he was off. The one thing I would say about Shane Kingston, slightly different role to a couple of years ago. He's closer to goal, maybe, whereas a couple of years ago, he was doing a lot of work out in the half forward line. So maybe, are you going to rob Peter to pay Paul for Cork down the line? Pull him out to do some of the work that's not being done now, when he's obviously a fellow who can always get a goal. He scores a goal nearly every day against Tip when he goes out, for instance. And like, if you're looking for fellas to work, you may have to use him further out the field.
Yeah, it's a point well made, Michael. But, you know, I suppose if, you know, if he continues with the vein of form that he's in at this moment in time, he's playing fierce well for UCC as well. He's actually keeping Mark Keogh from Tipperary out of the UCC team. But like, it was great for his first game back. And it isn't easy now having your dad as a selector or the manager of the team. That can't be easy. I don't know. That carries his own pressures.
I know Kieran had work commitments, inverted commas. But I thought maybe a little bit of his stepping down might have been to let Shane flourish a bit. Do you know?
And to be honest, like I would say Kieran would be conscious of that. But like, to me, I would always start Shane because he's quick. He's left-handed. He gives you a bit of balance. You know, he always gets a score against Tip, for instance, which should guarantee any Cork player start. But I mean, to me, that wouldn't even be an issue. This kind of being slightly conscious, is he worth his place or not? I would like, because between himself, Cadigan, Alan Cadigan, Dara Fitzgibbon, Conor Lehan, you have a lot of speed. And like, if you have speed, to me, you would double down on it rather than maybe trying to shoehorn in one or two big strong fellas then to try and give it a
But anyway, I suppose, look, everything is relative as well, as you know. Top of the ground in Park, would they have to go to Walsh Park in the summer? And it looks a bit of a task already, because Waterford are going to really buy in. I think the Waterford public as well will buy in.
Yeah, 4,000 people there yesterday. You know, I was down an hour before the game. The stand was fairly full. Was full much. Early, like, you know. And
well, that's a good lesson, Mark, to get there an hour before the game. You know, because sometimes fellas can struggle. With
well, in fairness to in fairness to me, Walsh Park did a good few gates open. As opposed to Saturday night in Turles.
Well, the funny thing what I noticed yesterday is that when Cork scored, there wasn't even a geek out of the crowd. Like, you know, so there was a very poor Cork crowd there yesterday, and that's something that you know, with Tipperary coming to town next Saturday night, that you'll be looking for some bit of support for the lads.
Can
you know?
We expect a switch tomorrow at the Parky Ring?
I think
there'll be a curtain raised at the next half
event. Saturday night lights, Dalo, I think, in the new pitch in Parky Cueve, which I think, from what I can gather, the pitch on Saturday night was fantastic.
Well, and I'm dying to see it now next Saturday night. I've heard you talking about it enough now. I'm dying to see it.
They mightn't let you out now, Dalo, like, you know, you might have to have a pass for that.
I have. I'm doing the core commentary.
Very good.
But look, just to finish up on that, like, we have a nice few games to touch on, but I suppose this was the main televised one, yes, so people would have seen it. But just think, like, no sweeper for Waterford. No, don't anyone that wasn't there, maybe, or didn't pick it up on the TV, think they weren't tactical. They were as deep far enough. But you, as you said, they were up and down.
They were.
It was ferocious. But just one thing, like, I have always really liked Patrick Curran as an up-and-coming, you know, seen him playing for DCU, minor and 21 for Waterford. But for some reason, like, under Derek and under Pádraig Fannin, it just didn't seem to click for him. But just thought yesterday there was more of a leadership about him and Stephen Bennett.
Yeah.
You know, no, look, to say now that there was no sweeper, but they were on their own a lot of the time up top. So while there was a tactical change and there wasn't a definite Tadhg de Burke figure sitting behind the centre-back in front of the full-back, but they were still very deep and hit on the break, but their energy levels, and I go back to their training, but these are two, along with Shane Bennett, these are class players.
Like, I suppose I would have seen Patrick Curran off a lot at underage, because Dungarvan is the first kind of town in West Waterford from Killa. And the one thing I say about Patrick Curran is, if he gets the ball in his hand, he'll score it. Now, you could give Phyllis the ball, and like you could touch on yesterday, Cork at 17 wide yesterday. I think Patrick Curran had 4 shots of goal yesterday. He got a goal and 3 points. Now, I'd be slightly critical of our defenders and the goal that he got. I thought he got through slightly easy. It wasn't the best of shots. It might have been a little bit of
Shouldn't have got the shot away.
Correct. Yeah. So, like, there was either a hook or a block, but the shot should never got away. But he nailed a couple of points in play, and they were all vital scores. And I think if under the previous managements, they were probably playing 5 forwards, maybe at some stage just 4 forwards. And Michael had mentioned the speed of the Cadigans and the Shane Kingston Dostlers. Patrick isn't blessed with that kind of pace, but he's blessed with great wrists and great awareness to be able to get the score.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's funny, because at the launch of Liam Carroll as manager, they had a sponsorship launch down in Lismore, and he was very strong. I paraphrase, you know, he was saying, I don't see why you would play a load of fellas behind the ball, that you should play forward, that you should play attacking. And in fairness, they're under 20 final against Cork. What did they get? 5 You know what I mean? He does obviously believe in an attacking game, but as you say, not at the expense of, you know, not defending the back as well either.
Yeah, sure. We'll leave it there. I think there'll be a load of more questions. Next week, Waterford mightn't have the toughest assignment, but Cork will certainly see, you know, with Tipler, we touch on that. But I still think, with all we've said, Shane Kingston had a shot to level it, you know. Yeah. And, like, Cork, to me, like, we're like a poorly made sandwich, like two stale slices of bread, you know, the start and the finish.
Yeah.
Waterford had all the filling. You know what I mean? Waterford all the mid, but Cork still could have stole it, like, you know.
Yeah, they could have still got a result, and
wouldn't have been deserved, no man.
Probably not, no. But like with the start that Cork got, and with the personnel I thought that they had out, and the personnel that Waterford had out, I thought Cork would have kicked on. And you know, they had plenty when the game started to go, and it started to go after 15 or 20 minutes. Now you could sense it in the crowd, like, we were 2-2 to 1-7. Like, you know, it's 8 scores. Yeah. It was a bad scoreline, and the crowd got... So, like, Cork are very experienced. That's a very, very experienced Cork team, and a very experienced sideline now as well. And they should have been able to say, listen, lads, we need to start to dig ourselves back out of this. Ball by ball, shot by shot. Don't give the boy... And, like, we gave away easy frees as well yesterday, Anthony, that, you know, there was one in particular in the second half where we had a forward chest to fill it down. I think you mentioned it earlier on. Like, it was just too easy, like.
Yeah, it was Connor, like, and probably frustrated he couldn't catch Callum Lyons, like, who has legs to burn.
Yeah.
And, like, he just kind of pulled across from the left-hand side across, and it was just... Stephen Bennett actually... Went short with the free.
It was a let off. But like those
kind
of.
That's silly, like.
And
like his experience.
Yeah. And Damien Cahalan got 3 points from player wing back. Played pretty well. Mm. But over carried the ball. Then it avoided the stage. And was knocked over. Like, I thought Cork got punished an awful lot for silly basic mistakes yesterday. But look.
Mentioned Kingston, I suppose you have to give it up to Cahalan as well. 3 from player from wing back. I thought Sean O'Donoghue very good as well. Like,
very solid, yeah. Very solid.
You would be looking at. Sooner Colm Spillane can be fit.
Yeah,
you know, that's two of the full back lines.
Cheers, and you have Owen Cadigan still knocking around.
Owen Cadigan only picked up a knock, I think, early last week. So.
Yeah, and by all accounts, Christopher Joyce also has made great recovery from a cruciate. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, look at it. And just, I suppose, look, it's first day out, but yeah, a little bit worrying. And to come on to that then, like, I just pulled up on the way to Cork. I knew the Kilkenny-Dublin match was on. Deferred coverage, as they call it, on TG Cahar, who superb again, TG Cahar, the coverage to give. And I knew that Richie Leahy had been sent off, and like Dublin, you're saying, oh, have it. And there was only 5-6 points in it, like, so.
Yeah.
But like, how is it Kilkenny always show up? Like, we're on about Cork's inconsistency. Kilkenny, like, look what they were missing yesterday. It's frightening you.
Yeah, but I suppose, as you know well, that culture is well and truly entrenched, because I suppose fellas were coming down as 20-year-olds to training, and they see Henry Shefflin there an hour beforehand taking his freeze, or JJ Delaney cutting the head off something in training, and it just seeps in, then it becomes part of it. But like, it looked at times like they had an extra man.
Yeah.
You know? Incredible. And they won not just at the Rees, but I mean they destroyed Dublin. And like, Dublin wouldn't be that, would Dublin have that many fellas to come back into that team?
Oh, but they had a good performance in the Welsh Cup. Yeah.
Sean Moran came on now, and
11 of that team lost the Laois match last year, which is worrying. Like,
that's a concern. And Kilkenny only started 6 of the 15 in the All Ireland final, so they had 9 new players without the great TJ Reid. And
I'd be forced to hold my hand up and say those days against Kilkenny, like, well, you know, there has been good days over the last couple of years. Very unlucky, maybe in a couple of championship matches, and like. Those old dog days in Nolan Park. Died a few for myself.
Long 70 minutes.
And do you know what? I was going to say, Mark, like, sending off against you in Nolan Park is nearly... You'd nearly be as well off the one of your own send off.
Correct.
Because the crowd, they go savage.
All they need is something to get
you,
the crowd.
You need a Joe Canning to come over and say, no, don't send them off. Don't send them off. A managerial challenge. We're declining that penalty.
Yeah. But we ran about, people were talking about that at the end of last year. Well, should you be allowed a challenge, a game? That'd be a challenge. No, we don't want team sent off.
Kilkenny have been, for years, once you start to get the crowd behind that team, it's flourishes right through the team. You could even see once Cody starts spitting in his hands and wiping his hands off his chest, you're in trouble. Like, you know you're in trouble because he feels the fight is coming straight away, and they'll fight on their backs to win every ball.
Well, I'll call it, that new covered stand is so near where the management and subs are in Nolan Park. We usually be at the other side, Fado, when we played there and that kind of thing, and that was bad enough. But this new stand is down top of you, and you could sense it just off the TV, like the absolute kind of nearly visceral coming down like this. Yeah. It's an injustice. No, he did deserve to be sent off.
Yeah,
and I actually thought, and the boys touched on it last night, and Jackie even admitted it was a red card. But there was a couple of tackles as well. I thought Potter Dwyer had a tough game now. Walter Walsh was lucky enough later on for a tackle on Chris Crummy. So if they went down to 13, they'd have come in over the wire. But having said that now, in fairness to the Kilkenny people, Dublin were very lucky. There was very similar challenges.
O'Donnell, that was an easy red card for the ref.
It was.
In the sense that, like, I'm not saying, no, they're evening things up. But, I mean, it was a red card with merits, and he could have just balanced things up with a small.
Yeah, he'd have taken a bit of the heat off himself. But, of course, when they win by 12 points, he gets away with it anyway. Like.
He's a great ref.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing you could say with Cody is, this is consistent, like, that he picks characters. He goes for characters that mightn't be the greatest hurlers. And again, yesterday, despite what they're missing, you see the Tullerone boys have to be there. Kion and Young Walsh, they're after winning the All-Ireland Intermediate Club. Be there.
Yeah.
Okay. The Ballyhale boys get a little bit of leeway.
Yeah.
But, you know, that sort of thing. But then again, you Paddy Deegan now, who's really become a leader for them. Morph and go, like, they're desperate, steady again, like, and, you know, brilliant save, Mushy and O'Rourke at a crucial time. Like, there was only about 5 points in the game, and Conor Fogarty midfield, massive shift. And Walter again.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought Walter was, he was everything good about him up front. He mightn't have scored. Billy Ryan got a couple of goals.
Yeah.
Third goal should never have gone in. I mean, Dublin were poor at the back, you'd have to say.
Yeah, well, I think the keeper would be very disappointed that ricocheted back into the net. Like, but Billy Ryan, plucky enough, took on the shot. You know, I suppose you mentioned the likes of Owen Murphy and Conor Fogarty there and Walter. Like, they're around, they know exactly what Cody's looking for. And Cody's first premise is, lads, we want you to fight for every ball. You don't let anybody on the opposition out with the ball easy. Clamp them. But I thought Conor Fogarty again. And, like, you have got to look at the fact of, we said, look at the fellas that are missing for them yesterday. The five or six fellas that are backbone of that team there. Colin Finley, TJ Reid, you know, still to come back into the team.
Almost the spine of a team. You could play them up the middle.
As the months are going on, Michael, over the last 18 months, since they won that league sort of against the head the year before last year, they're becoming bigger and bigger contenders the whole time. Now, you'd say they were always contenders, obviously.
Yeah, but
being Kilkenny-like.
Remember, Tipperary had him on the rack, and they could have put on a couple of subs to screw the coffin down on top of him, but they didn't, and they won. And as you say, that has really turned the tide for them. But, I mean, just one before we leave it, why was Richie Lahey sent off? Because he was hunting back the field, 40 yards from where traditionally you'd expect him to be. No, he mistimed it, you're right. He deserved to be sent off.
It's a mistimed, it's kind enough to him. He fairly was disgusted going off, like, but he saw Danny Sutcliffe, who'd be a boss now as well, and was involved in plenty hard-hitting stuff. He's shooting was off. I thought Sutcliffe was the one guy that consistently had a big battle with Deegan.
Sure, yeah, but you'd have to say, we're talking about players' attitudes and other counties who are trying to get forwards to work. There was an example of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, he was doing something that a lot of managers say, well, all right, he got it wrong there, but he's there doing his job straight away.
That was 28 minutes. He had a brilliant 28 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of where they won it as well, before that.
But I'd say maybe there's, in Kilkenny at the moment, there certainly would be a feeling that the public outside of Kilkenny are probably saying that Kilkenny are gone. And I'd say that Brian Cody might be actually starting to say that, look, lads, you know, everybody thinks you're way down the pecking order.
You were lucky to make the All-Ireland final.
Yeah,
it was an injustice.
Absolutely. You've got to, and like, there's nothing worse than poking a bear, and who better than Brian Cody to bring the best out in fellas?
Yeah, and there's, you know, I even think, like, I was saying the Tullerone boys were there, but Páraic Walsh got a weekend off. You know, you'd forget about him. You'd think of the Ballyhale fellas.
Killian Buckley.
You'd think of Killian Buckley.
Richie Hogan.
Richie Hogan coming back. And like, you'd forget about Páraic Walsh.
Yeah.
What a star he is.
Oh, fantastic player,
But these guys now are going to be saying,
well, I have the jersey, and that's what he loves and thrives on.
Yeah, and I suppose, Anthony, the big thing now, and you'll probably talk about the Limerick and Tipperary game in a minute, like, you know, I think Liam Sheedy and the team he picked as well on Saturday night, like, Cody now with his panel, with those seven or eight fellas that are missing, Liam Cahill with his panel, with his six or seven fellas that were missing, and you also have the Liam Sheedy situation where he had a good lot of fellas missing as well on Saturday night. So yeah, those teams seem to be building a good launch pad of players, because when you're going to have to go into a Munster or Leinster campaign with four matches in the space of 6-7 weeks, you need a good panel of players. You need to be able to call on 22, 23 fellas to fill those spots.
Yeah, just before we move on to the McTip, nice little bit of a debate last night, we'll call it, on League Sunday with Jackie and Dunlog. Guess the difference in the opinion on a couple of the rules and their rules, I suppose. And you know, I would have been privy and would have said that we'd playing a couple of old challenge matches with the club under 21s and saying, lads, watch the hand passing, and you're trying to stamp on it in training. That's a throw. Go back to the back of the line or whatever, you know. So just trying to get little things in their heads. But like, do you think Dunlog's point is well made? Like, that we should be erring. Like, definitely the feedback I've got is that the refs have been told to err on the side of the free if you're in doubt.
Yeah. And Dunlog is on the other side of the camp. You are on the side of leaving a go rather.
Nearly
than,
more so now. Like, yes, you know, yes. I mean, yes. The Limerick lead was bottled up. The tip lead was bottled up down the ground on the Saturday night game. Like, that was a throw, I think.
He was.
No, the TJ Reid one he picked up on last year's semi-final
wasn't a troll.
And correct. That's, you know, but
I thought he made his point very clear, to be honest about it. Like, in the TJ Reid scenario, and we are seeing that now all of the time, Anthony, where you want your defenders, you want your forwards, actually, any fellow who has the ball, you want them clamped straight away. You don't want them to be able to get a strike away or get a hand pass away. So it's very difficult if you're the man in possession to actually get a hand pass away, because, and this is where the free arm is coming into it then, you seem to be caught just for a second, and you're in the act of either hand passing or striking, and you can't get either two. It is actually infuriating when you actually can't strike the ball or can't hand pass the ball. So
yeah, I would agree that nearly anything that speeds it up is better
should
than
be allowed.
A whistle,
yes,
and a free. And,
but
we can't throw the ball either, right?
No,
you know that.
No. But I was surprised at the Tipperary lad, and you're right, he did throw the ball. Why he didn't just throw the ball down the ground? We'll go again now, have a scrap. Rather than throwing the ball, was there a little bit of a hand pass and maybe he got a pull or a tug or something?
I see both sides of that one.
Yeah.
But I would be inclined to say err on the side if you're not sure of letting go.
And I would agree. I'm in agreement.
And then the other one we had about the spare hand, and Donald brought that up, like, what's this about? You know, and I suppose it's a different thing, but I'd be inclined to agree with Jackie on that one. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, but like, if you overtly tackle with your free hand, I would see that. But we say the TJ Reid clip, I didn't see anything wrong with the way, was it the Limerick fellas were around him like that. They were making a fair attempt at shepherding as opposed to reaching in.
And there was single
hands
dog going in on his chest. And
yeah, but like you would say they weren't primarily tackling maybe with their hands. The hurley's out as well. I could see, but as you say, then there's a link between them. If fellas are using their free hand, it's harder to hand pass. So the two are linked.
Shouldn't that be in the ref's discretion as well?
I would think so. And it's hard to put the ball in the hurley because your hands are being dragged left, right, and centre. Both hands are being dragged, in actual fact. And we all go back to the clip where we saw Tyrone against Tomas O'Shea years ago, where there was five fellas around him and he wasn't allowed to solo. He wasn't able to bounce the ball and he was turned over and everybody saying, woohoo, great stuff.
Martin Carney in the co-commentary famously said, they're like ravenous terriers.
Correct.
You know, and a phrase we used, I suppose, in various coaching things we did over the years.
Yeah, and like we were 10 minutes ago, we were saying certain counties, their forwards aren't working hard enough to put fellas under pressure. So we can't complain then when fellas are being put under pressure. And if the referee is, like, it's enforcement too. If your hand is being pulled, that's a foul. So the referee should call that. That's fair enough. Yeah. But that's on the referee. No, I thought it was a bit unfair just to pick out the TJ thing last night, because in fairness, everything happened so fast in the match. I wouldn't blame the ref for not being able to see him make a hand pass motion. Yeah. But on its merits, if a referee feels a fella's using his hand illegally to interfere with an opponent, as you say, no, maybe catch the jersey or just have a hold of your wrist or whatever like that. Like, that's a foul. You just blow that.
Yeah, and when I was just discussing with a fella this morning, I think the skills of the game and the more skillful players are going to find it harder and harder to show those skills into the future if we allow the level of the grabbing, the tackling. And I don't want to take the physicality out of it, but the game has actually gone to another physicality level now where it is mass defence and clamp the best forwards as fast as you can with one or two fellas. And if they swarm them and you can't get a shot away or a hand pass away, you know, that's going to lead to the more skillful players. So the likes of the DJ Careys, the Eddie Cares, the Deans, you know, Paul Flynn's. Okay, they're all smart tollers and they're all probably adept and stuff for that. But will we see less and less of those players into the future?
Yeah, I think, you know, swarm tackling is here to stay. Like, I think you look at Limerick and they've made an art of it. Like, I think you watch Limerick and it's... what you notice is they never swarm until there's a mistake. Like a fella spills a ball slightly or whatever, and then they're on to him. Mm-hmm. You know, like I poke a ball maybe to you, you're on about Cork's lateral passing earlier on, like I poke a ball to you, it's too low, so you have to go down low to try and rise at poor conditions maybe, and it spins off your hurley 2 yards. Oh, then there's three of them on you, like, that, especially that middle third, do you know?
Yes.
They are just, like, even Cian Lynch, who... I mean, the bit of skill last night with the foot. He was obviously a brilliant soccer player as well. I think he went to England for trials, I think. But I mean, like, but he'll do that for you as well. Like, he will go back and surround lads, and even we'll go on to it. I thought Will, I don't know who brought a huge amount of that when he came in yesterday. That was highlighted last night. But being at the match as well, you could see that.
Isn't there anything, though, a sense of, like, you go to a hurling match and you want to see a fella pick the ball, look up 70 yards over the bar, or solo around the fella? And fellas, it doesn't sit well with people to see the rocks and the malls and whatever and what's going on, and can't we do something about it? But same as what happened with Gaelic football 15 years ago. Fellas didn't want to see Tyrone do that. They want to see high fielding, which has gone now to Gaelic football, and long kicking and all that kind of stuff. But, you know as a manager that, like, it is easier to get fellas to gang tackle than is to get a fella to hit the ball out of there for 90 yards. Yeah. So obviously it is going to work for you.
As a one-time cornerback and a one-time wingback, I'd like in my forwards to be stopping that ball coming out 90 yards, you know, because if you're on a live wire corner forward and it's a lovely delivery angle ball, it's so hard to defend. Like, so, yeah, I think it should be at the referee's discretion. I think that's the point we made. Yeah. And because it's not natural, Mac, to run with your two hands in your hurley either, sure.
No, we were
kind of slow enough. We needed to run full pelt with one hand in our hurley.
But I suppose in our situation, and if you were running, that's fine. But if you got the opportunity to strike the ball as fast as you could, and next of all, just as you're about to pull up your hand, and something gives you a little bit of a tug, and next of all, you top the ball, and it's Jesus, daily striking and shocking today, like, you know, and nothing to do with the fellow who's just out there giving you a tug, like.
There's probably a way you could kind of ledge it to say to the ref, if a fella's actively interfering with another player with his hand, as opposed to, look, he's his hand out like that, he's not, you know, but if a fella's reaching in, you say, look, you know, you're fouling him there, no, you can't, you know, you've no defence there.
Yeah, we won't stay talking about it all day, but I have, like, if I'm defender and a wing forward runs at me, if I can get one hand up to his chest, not his face guard or anything like that, if I can get my spare hand on his chest, halt his momentum, force him to play it after four steps or over carry, I have a chance. But, like, if I'm two hands on my hurley and trying to get shoulder to shoulder, so I've no chance.
For sure. Surely, referee, and of course, this is handy now on the podcast because we can't illustrate it visually. But if you hold your hand up to stop a fella, there's a difference between that to me and, say, reaching in to pull a fella, reaching in to grab a guy's arm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're being kind of active with your hand. I know you could get hung up in it, but...
One thing it has given us, and it's a great tribute to a great man that never won in Ireland, was... it has given us the brick flick. But you can't get the hand pass away. You throw out the ball about a yard and a half and you give a little flick with the top of your hurley. But it's gas. Like, it's so common now just in training, like, to say a hand passing lads, first touch to hand, brick flick. And the young lads now, who have your number? Well, they probably would. He's played up to lately. But, like, you could be, I think under 14s even will have it now, brick flick. I know what that is, and it'll become more and more common. Yeah. Like, tis mad.
We agreed so that the hand pass, we're okay with the hand pass to give the fella the benefit of the doubt. But
I'm not taking sides.
Are we divided on the
debate last night?
Hand,
and I know well that Tyrrell would only be thinking of the way the Kilkenny forwards tackled the four in a row team.
But that's like, and
he's nine All Ireland.
not blaming them, but like, you know yourself, like whatever the top team are doing in any sport, that filters down, and they were there so long, and they played to that strength that it just filtered out. Whereas in an alternative universe where the only one won All Ireland, then maybe fell off the wagon. Sure, there'd be another style, but like that, and referees became kind of conditioned to that. Then that's how Kilkenny play. So that's how it's played. It's almost an unconscious thing, which is why they won all those All Ireland.
We'll go back to Saturday night, lads, because I suppose that's the other one we saw. We saw plenty of. I didn't see as much as I'd liked. I tell you, I couldn't. I don't think they'd legislated for the crowd, and I didn't think loads of people went home. Do you know the people?
12,000 people.
And a lot of people went home. Larry, you were saying to me.
Yeah, my sister was caught there in around
the
rag.
She wasn't coming
too
far.
No, only coming from Temple Derry. Yeah, there was a big crowd back at the rag. Yeah, it was backed up a good bit, I think.
Yeah, well, I was backed out, and I turned down towards Ballycahill, and I said if I come in around up at Holy Cross, maybe the Limerick crowd had gone in, and it was just a nightmare. But I kept lagging my way. I eventually got it, but I still missed the first three or four scores. Like, I don't think there was enough gates open, as I said. But at the same time, What a Limerick contingent, honest to God. Like, it was nearly Limerick 3-1, like. And I know Liam mentioned it during the week, like, that it took the Tip supporters a while to get behind them last year, but, like, Limerick have phenomenal support at the moment. They're so thirsty for more, you know. They've won an All-Ireland, a league, and a Munster Championship in the last 18 months, and they're so hungry for more.
I'm afraid I'm guilty as well, Dalo. I was training 8-year-old girls at 3 o'clock on Saturday, so I didn't make it up. But so all I'm going on is the reaction now on the likes of Premier View message boards and stuff, and there doesn't seem to be a big inquest broken out yet. Anyway, there seems to be a restrained reaction, unusually after
a bizarre game, Mark.
Yeah, well, I think actually both managers will come away delighted from the match on Saturday. I think everybody got something out of Saturday night. I thought in the first half Tipperary were just majestic. I thought their skill level was fantastic. Their support play was fantastic. And then doing this now, and I'm just going to name a few players here. Mark Keogh, Jake Morris, Paddy Goodell, Winnie Connors, Alan Flynn, Brian O'Mara, Sean O'Brien. No real household names inside there. Anthony, a couple of lads that came on in championship matches. But
Alan Flynn, Sean O'Brien, I guess. But certainly and Morris, Keogh, Goodell, Brian O'Mara, certainly.
And then to bring on Paul Flynn, Dylan Quirk, Craig Morgan and Keen Darcy, certainly not household names. When the game was starting to go away from them, they brought on those lads to try and rescue it. So,
well, there would be a lot of Liam Cahill's guys.
Absolutely.
You know, Keen Darcy, Dylan Cahill, he got a great chance of a goal to win it. Brilliant. And they still nearly got a goal.
That's right.
The crossbar.
Yes. But like, I suppose, and just going away, both managers, I think, will have got a lot from it. I think Liam Sheedy will look at himself and say, you know what, okay, we're only just back from our holiday, we're all Ireland champions, we've blooded a nice few fellas here this evening against a very, very tough competitive team who, looking down the line, they'll set themselves, look, well, these are going to be our one of our probably rivals for the All-Ireland to retain our championship. I think he'll be delighted. Probably the worry will be that maybe they collapsed in the end, and you know, once the game started to go, they couldn't wrestle it back, which is then the flip side for John Kiely, that, you know, going in and listening to the lads on the television, I was watching it on television, both Seamus Hickey and Lan Carver both have the same opinion. Look, Limerick will try and save face here in the second half if they can drag back the score some bit and make it look respectable. But did anybody see what was actually caught? And this is where I was saying John Kiely must be thrilled with his troop, that once they turn the screw in the second half, they started to regain what they were all about last year.
Would he be a little bit worried as well, Michael, in that, go back to the match they lost last year, they never came out of the blocks at all against Kilkenny, like, and ultimately, while they almost and maybe should have got a result, they didn't, and the damage was in the first 25 minutes, really. That
day. Yeah, and I suppose that time the narrative was, because the usual thing, they'd won the Munster final, they'd had a few weeks off, and Kilkenny had the match against Cork, so they were sharper to it. And as we've been saying, it's not like Kilkenny or Mugs either, you know, the team Kilkenny put out against Limerick that time were very good. And like, there's another thread to this to me, like, do Limerick play the kind of game or have the players that suit them to play Tipperary, whereas say like Cork have a team that suits them to play Limerick? Do you know what I mean? Like, last year, you know, Cork played Limerick in a great game in the championship, but like,
Cork couldn't make a fist out of Kilkenny at all, and they couldn't make a fist out of Tipperary, whereas Limerick maybe have a slight number over Tipperary, just in general. I know, look, there's only January and so on, but like I have to say, and you mentioned him earlier, I thought the key to the whole thing was Will O'Donoghue when he came on, and John Kiely said afterwards, look, he's an abrasive player. And like he injected urgency into the whole thing. He had a hand in the two goals.
Yeah.
You know, he got sent off as well. He relayed the full bingo card.
You get that with Will every day. He goes out. It's all duck.
Oh yeah, but I mean, in fairness, like when you're talking, and you know, you'd be reticent to say one filler makes a huge difference, but I just thought he raised everything when he came on. I thought, like, if there's something John Kiely took out, it was like, there's a nice headache now. You know, how close is this filler to starting?
Yeah, Sean Finn, I thought, also made a big difference in the full back line as well. Like,
yeah, I guess he was injured, like.
Yeah.
And they probably were a little bit slow taking him off because he got a fair bang.
Yeah.
And the tip full forward line were causing trouble, but they were moving to be able to bring on Sean Finn. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. They have the best squad. I don't think any of us would really argue that.
Yeah, they have a very good squad now. And I would have to say, I think Tipperary have a nice squad now as well. Mm. I think all those lads, you know, that they played on Saturday night will get a huge amount. And like, they're coming to Cork.
Morris looked really good, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Like, he's great hands. But he's great hands as well, like, you know. And like last year, you go back to the under 21, he got the goal to level the match, like, to bring it, you know. Like, he knows the right place to be, and he took on the shot now. A great save from Hennessy and goals as well. I thought now that was a great goal chance. Like,
yeah, he might have, it wasn't so much, I'd say, Barry Hennessy's fault, but he might have struggled a little bit with the puck outs in the first half, but he was going short. But they weren't tuned in, like, and I think it feeds back in a bit to the, everyone was saying all week, should Tipper only back from the holiday, should they, you know, they'll be way sharper because the Munster League, they look good, and the hockey Cork in the final of it, and the hockey clear in the kind of semi-final, I noticed the group game. And they beat Tip before Christmas, and everyone kind of said, look, sure, Limerick will be, and he'll name him strong, and he did. And I couldn't believe how the poor game they were. But can just throw this out, like, I'm just a feeling, I listened to Liam Sheedy in an interview as well, just while I was stuck in traffic, saying, will I get to see this at all? Like, he said, well, a lot of people out there are saying Limerick were the best team in the country last year. Now, ultimately, we won the All-Ireland, but I wonder, are they becoming a little bit of a bogey for this bunch of Tip players since they came really strong with their under-21s? Do you know, I'm talking about the Gillans, the Burns, the Kyle Hayes, I mean, but for me, someone who really is cementing his place, and maybe the other guys as well, but Barry Nash really looks the part. And I thought David Dempsey is really saying, I've enough of this being a bit player as well. I thought the two of those, but are they inside the tip heads a little bit?
Well, I think the Limerick players in particular, they've had a huge amount of success over the last 5 or 6 years. And I'm going back now to development squads, because I've seen a good lot of them lads coming through, the Sean Finns, the Kian Lynch's, Peter Casey's, the Barry Nash's, right? I've seen, and I don't think they have any fear of any county at this moment in time. And I think they've come on a manager, great manager, John Kiely, and I said backroom staff, Sean O'Donnell is there on the video analysis. I said he's done an awful lot of work with them in the background. And one of the things that I noticed on Saturday night, Anthony, is I felt that the half back line was probably pulled out a little bit too far, and that wouldn't be their norm. They would sit back inside the 45-yard line, two midfielders sitting and a half out, and then sitting out at midfield. That seemed to go out the window.
That might be where Will O'Donoghue
change things up slightly, or maybe
because John McGrath was definitely running the game in the first half,
big time, very good player. But come back to your earlier point was, will they become a bogey team for them? Like, it was a bit set up last year in the Munster final that Limerick were going to come all guns blazing, wasn't it? And Tip got back, and like, imagine this now, Wexford actually had Tip on the ropes. They would never have won the All-Ireland final that they won, but they got over the line and got to the final and were superb. I think until we'll see Limerick and Tipperary maybe contest an All-Ireland final, I don't know, will we actually have the answer to that?
We might have finally got the seeker for a back-to-back here. Like, I mean, Bar Limerick won the imaginary All-Ireland last year, like, so Tip only need one in a row now.
Yeah, and like, if Cork had done the business above an Innes last year, Limerick could have slipped nicely into third, wouldn't have had to bother with the Munster Championship previous year.
Yeah,
it's amazing how they dropped the four lads for going down to thirdless last year. You couldn't really call that a big psychological one. Tip had to win it and did win it, but then Limerick. in the Munster final. But look, Tip have Liam McCarthy.
They have, and I think that they have a nice panel of players, and they have a lot of under 21 lads that have two under 21 All Irelands in their back pocket. And I suppose when I look at those lads that have, we say, played for Tipperary on Saturday night, Cork also competed in those two All Ireland finals. We didn't win them. But who's coming off of those two Cork under 21 teams? Surely do we not have the same number of players that were available to Tipperary, that, you know, that would be a concern for me now.
But in fairness, I suppose in Coleman, Fitzgibbon, Kingston,
Shane Kingston,
Tim O'Mahony, like, you've nearly more fellas established at this stage. From,
yes.
Now, first year you would have
felt. We had them in the first year, and we should have.
Better team, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Achievement by Cahill.
Yes, massive. And those lads had already been, had played senior at that stage. They were actually
Liam didn't start at 19. But he blooded them, and
yeah,
we were being critical of him early on for not doing it. But what wins? You win, everything is right, and that's. Liam, he's, as you said, most people will be happy in camps for this one, because Liam will tip along now. At the same time, he'd have to go to Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Saturday night, which is one we look forward to. But yeah, look, it was bizarre, and there was great excitement for a finish, obviously, and obviously Tip, like, young Dylan Cahill dropped that ball that went across to him.
Later on,
I think that was a definite goal. And then Jason Ford, who's really stepping up to the plate last year, has done him so much good. I think he's really from play as well as from the dead balls. But that last shot, a rocket, like, great save, Hennessy off the crossbar. Yeah. There's Barry Nash to bring it away. And so, like, yes, we're a bit like Cork. They could have got a result.
Probably, and probably wouldn't have deserved it. Maybe in some respects. First half were excellent, but once Limerick started to turn the screw, they were really, really good in the second half. And I think the way that Limerick battled in the second half, they probably would have to take the kudos and say, yeah, they probably deserved it slightly, just narrowly at the very end.
Yeah, great stuff. Look, so much to look forward to next weekend. I suppose the other Division 1 games, does it look like it's going to be a tough year, Michael, for Laois, Carlow and Westmeath in the league?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to feel some sympathy for Laois after last year, because there's one or two fellas after stepping away. You know, that you would expect last year's success to be pulling fellas in.
And they probably performed.
Yeah.
No, we did allow for Angus Clark being sent off for Westmead.
Yeah, and, like, that's a tall order, because obviously they're in a similar situation to Waterford. There's a lot of fellas trying to impress a new manager. Shane O'Neill's a very good, very sharp guy, and obviously knew that. So, like, I mean, I even saw the clip of the Westmead manager afterwards on the television last night, saying, like, there's a fairly steep learning curve. Yeah. But that they have to have those matches if they're to learn. But it's just unfortunate then that their probably learning curve was interrupted by the centre-back getting sent off, because it gives a slightly false picture to how they went. But in fairness, I'd say it'd be a long few weeks now for them.
I suppose the one thing is that the three teams you mentioned there, Anthony, that Westmead only scored 10 points, Carlow scored 14, but Laois scored 216, which is a good score. And just reading about the games this morning, Wexford got two goals in injury time in the first half. Laois were 4 points up at half time. Eddie Brennan would have been hoping to get his lads to the dressing room. Like, there's a real kick in the bum, like, you know, to concede two goals in injury time
Anything I read about it, and anything I've spoken to lads about it, that they were really competitive for a long, long time. And
as you
said, a couple of blows, and one of them was a soft enough goal, I believe. And that's a massive one now next Sunday in Parnell Park. Like, poor old Westmead have no break, really, have they, with the teams they're in with?
No.
Dublin didn't perform yesterday. Laois go out to Parnell next week.
Yeah, well,
Eddie would have been, I'd say, going back into the dressing room, saying, himself and Niall Cocker, saying, lads, that was a fair, because Wexford are a top side now, obviously. And, I think they'll go up there saying, we beat them last year, can we back it up? And that's a huge one, I think.
It probably is an ideal game for both teams, because Dublin had a poor performance against Kilkenny yesterday. Laois, I'd say, will be trying to say, look, as you said, we beat them already. You know, we had a good performance against Wexford. Let's see if we can get that result and not be relying maybe on playing Carlow down the line to avoid probably being bottom of the rung. Like,
yeah, and I suppose, look, I have to give a small mention to the Saffron and Blue crowd up the road there. I'll be going back up to join them there in a few minutes. Great, good start for Brian Lohan in the sense that I think it was needed. A good crowd turned out to see new campaign, new era. You know. we've tried different ways of getting to the top. Bit unlucky 2 years ago, and Brian will bring his own way as a player. He brought a certain directness, and he'll bring that as well. I think the biggest thing for him is now, and obviously it's a first round and all that, but Tony Kelly really seemed to have ran the show. Like anyone was talking to, was superb. And like, if Clare are going to be serious, we need Tony Kelly
to be
and Tony Kelly and David McInerney as your midfield partnership. Now I know the backs will be facing tougher tests. Starting with next week in Wexford Park.
Well, it couldn't be primed nicer now for next weekend. Both Wexford and Clare playing each other, and Lowen and Davy. Like, I mean, that's a match in itself, really, isn't it?
There has been great rivalry there since the NIT.
Would we send a photographer for the handshake?
I'd say it'd be all cordial. Everyone will be looking to later on, dear Mike.
With Tony Kelly midfield, because he seems to go where he wants anyway. Is that probably the best place to put him? Because he'll drift back down the field anyway, so you might as well allow for that.
Always, for me, watching him with Clare, and even more so with Bellier, like, that's his spot, like, and you have to give him a free role. And when you think about Davy Mack coming to midfield, no, took him a while to find his feet, I believe, to get into the flow of it. Like, he's been so long full back in that, but he's that's kind of a solid defender coming to midfield who will possibly hold
and allow Kelly the freedom to go.
And Davy Mack pace to burn as well, you know. So it's a real quick midfield, but you have a kind of a holder and you have
an attacker.
Hit everything. Right. And he hit the freeze as well. And I thought I put David Reedy into my fantasy hurling team. I was one up there. I got bad information off Colin Higgins. He'll be out listening to this when he's walking tonight. He's on the walking month this month.
Very good. 100 days.
Yeah, and the other thing, like, I suppose from Fitzy's point of view, huge performance by Conor McDonald, from what I read and what I heard, radio reports and everything else. Huge guy for him, obviously, when he's missing Shin. And for Galway, Shane O'Neill, and that was touched on last night as well, that they needed a few new players. And Tyke Hearn really...
Six points in play, fantastic performance.
It was a bit loose, probably, but he is a good striker. And I believe that, talking to a couple of guys, you're trying to find out bits and pieces of news. It is murder at the moment. All day, everyone knew everything. But, like, I had heard that he was really going well in training and really asking to step up. And I think good days for those three, really.
And it was great to see Joe Canning back as well, you know. Shipped a bad injury last year. Yeah. Probably struggling coming into the latter ends of the championship and stuff like that. But
and as you touched on, like, two fantastic bits of sportsmanship over the weekend was Joe Canning trying to keep Angus Clark on the field.
Absolutely.
And then you have to say the Dean Rock thing.
Okay, with Clifford at the end.
It was great. Yeah. There's honour among thieves in their free-techers. I'd always call them thieves, free-techers.
Not as classy as your segue there into the football.
That turned into a row, and then it raised as procession. It was like the thing before the match now, where give respect, all of a shot.
Well, I don't know. I think it might have been the Irish Examiner had a picture today. Obviously, the Dean Rock thing where Clifford was taken before, the front of his jersey and the back of his jersey was torn down the middle. That's the jersey I think I'd be framing that one, I think, you know.
A few of the midfield and defenders came after Dean Rock, I presume. It was a class one, but look, quick look ahead. Clare Wexford, we've mentioned that, great stuff. Cork tip response needed,
absolutely.
They both ways, but especially from Cork.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. The big thing from a Cork perspective is that they have to get a result this weekend, you know, and you know. Nothing better than bringing the old enemy down. Big question now for Liam Sheedy is, what team is he going to start? Like, is he going to bring back somebody, or will he? And I think he'll probably give the lads that he started over there. I think he'll give them their head again this weekend. Pitchers in great order, you know. It'll suit Tipperary down to the ground, Anthony.
So we ran about this quick ball up to all these fast Cork forwards.
Yeah,
so this is going to be right up your alley.
Well, we're hoping Joe Cunningham will be here this morning, Anthony, and you could ask him some of those questions why we're going lateral with the defensive ball.
He's going to come in, Tony, the weekend's the win, is it? Yeah. Joe, we were only Blackgarden.
We nearly had Mike Kirk as well.
Yeah, well, Mike got a great result for his team. But the other one, I suppose, less quickie, and it looks like a mouth-watering one, is Shane O'Neill bringing Galway down to Limerick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, a ripper again. Like, they're probably the two teams that are, you know.
Yeah, because they're two teams that kind of would suit each other. They're both very strong physically. Like, I'd say the middle of the field now in the Gaelic grounds wouldn't be somewhere for the faint-hearted when the Morrisseys start clashing in there with Joe Canning and the lads. But, Are Limerick a small bit further ahead?
Yeah, but I would have said if they were totally experimenting Galway, but although they did throw in three or four, they, you know, when you see Joe playing and you see Conor Whelan back and all, you know, Pádraig Mainneon centre back, Cathal Mainneon,
Whelan in my case, you know, would be something you put a player count on. Yeah,
that wouldn't be the first time they met.
So. Yeah, it was a big game for Shane O'Neill coming back to his own home county and having, you know, been a great manager with Na Piarsaigh as well. Like, there'll be a little bit of pressure on Shane as well because, you know, like we all have seen it, like, oh, you know, why should he go outside his own county and stuff like that or go outside his own club?
But he probably feels after winning an Ireland club that he might have got a shot at the Limerick job,
yeah.
And it'll be like when Liam Cahill plays Tip, both in the league and in Munster. So
that's right.
That's an interesting dynamic. But look, I think a great start. One I'll just touch on, it'll be the game at 2A next week, is Tralee carrying Offaly. Offaly kind of struggled, you know, just to get over meat, and I thought that would be probably a great start for McFinley.
But put up a big score as well. Like, I think they scored 126 yesterday. Like, you know,
121,
but a bit to work on now with the coaches during the weekend.
That's like one of the lower divisions that I think we'll all be keeping an eye on.
One thing I just wanted to mention, Anthony, over the weekend as well, is that the four televised matches over the weekend, I think Ayr had 2, RTÉ had 1, and TG Cahir. There were four fantastic games that were actually televised, and just for our sport, for hurling and football, I thought as a guy who wanted to watch matches on television and couldn't make any of the matches, every one of them were actually fantastic. And, you know, whoever the organisers were in terms of getting the matchups of the matches, the two best hurling teams and the two best football teams, predominantly, put that in inverted commas there now.
Well, I'd say it's no coincidence that it was an FA Cup weekend in the soccer. There was no Heineken Cup. The internationals are not starting until next week.
Yeah.
So they said, let's make these ones hot.
You know.
So
Alliance League must be delighted with that now.
No, we haven't touched on the biggest controversy of the weekend. That Alliance League ad with Seamus Cannon taking 12 steps.
You did on Twitter.
I have to raise this at the highest levels, taking 12 steps.
The free hand,
the goal, if they should have worn the hurley off him. Instead of
that's a bit pushing brushed it out. The goal,
no fear of the hurley.
It was the second hand in, so you had to overcarry, which is a free. Great stuff, guys. Sure, we'll talk to you very, very shortly. We're looking forward to next weekend already.
Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.